Hey, what's going on? It's Bill Burr, and it's the Monday Morning Podcast for Monday, September 5th, 2011. Happy fucking Labor Day! Oh my God, Gina, can you believe it? It's the end of the summer. No more dressing like a hooah. I can already feel it. The bottom of my bum cheeks, they're not going to be as tan. The leaves are changing color. Just like my ass. Oh, how about a fucking round of applause for the drunk whores who spill wine coolers on their little white fucking coochie cutters. Isn't that great? Turns a little bit pink and they sit there with their club soda. And it looks like they're trying to finger their clit, but they don't know where it is. You know, they're just to the left of it. I can't get the fucking stain off. Masha, do you have another pair of fucking horse shorts that I can wear around the fucking beach and attract some of the dumbest fucking men possible, and then I can bitch about my life and say that all I meet is assholes despite the fact I have my pussy lips hanging out? Happy Labor Day, everybody. And I was going to tell you guys a little something about Labor Day, but there's nothing interesting about it. You know, in case you weren't, if you're too lazy to go on to Wikipedia and look up Labor Day, evidently... Labor Day is the United States federal holiday.
So-called white man.
And it was, it's the first Monday of September. The history of Labor Day started in 1882. Who gives a fuck, right? There was nothing in it. All I know is just basically it's supposed to celebrate the American worker. You know, that guy who used to make stuff in this country. Remember that? Do you guys remember that shit back in the day? When you'd have those guys dressed in their blue-on-blue dickies, and you'd go to do something. You go to reach for a bottle of ketchup, or you go to, you know, grab your razor blade. And he'd be like, I make those. Me and my buddies, we make all of those for the whole fucking country. And they had pride because they made razor blades and they made ketchup bottles in the same goddamn factory. You know? And now what? Now it all fucking left. Because of greed. Everybody wanted more. And now it's all fucking gone. And now I'm seeing shit on the internet going, you know, how are we going to compete with China? I'll tell you how we're going to compete with them. We're going to do the old Packer sweep. That's what we should do. And fucking bring the fucking factories back here. Everybody, you know what it is? Everybody's got to stop being a greedy cunt. From the CEO at the top to the douche who wants to get the union job so he can lean on a fucking shovel and milk the clock. I blame all of you. And I don't look at my life and find any fault because I'm an American. Everything I do is right and everything you guys do is wrong. You're greedy, not me. You know, I made myself a tuna sandwich yesterday. I was full 3/4 of the way through. And then I finished it because I knew that there's some kid fucking out on an iceberg up there in Alaska chewing on whale blubber and he would kill for that fucking tuna sandwich, you know? So there's a little story for your CEOs and union workers. Why don't you think about that next time you guys ask for more fucking money? Think about a saint like me and my tuna fish sandwich, all right? And if that fucking story didn't make any sense to you, then I got to be honest with you, I really can't help you, all right? Do the fucking math. Oh, fuck. I don't want to do this podcast today. I don't even think I'm going to be funny. I'm just going to make shit up. Did you guys hear about Libya? Fucking slid right into the ocean, you know? I know you didn't see it on the news. It's because they don't want you to know. You know, you're living over here in a fishbowl. I know what's going on. I went to whatsthedealwithlibya.com. Why do they call it Labor Day if nobody works? What are you guys doing to celebrate the end of the summer? Huh? You putting your boat away? You taking it out one more time? Contemplating hitting your wife in the back of the head and saying it was a boating accident? Tie your lard ass to a fucking one water ski and just, you know, what would you do? Let's make that more modern. How do you dispose of a body nowadays? Back in the day, you gave them, gave him concrete shoes. I think nowadays what you do is you take out two old laptops from the early fucking 2000s. You strap them to her feet and you just throw her overboard. You know? And then you just say that she was, I don't know what the fuck you say. You ask for a fucking lawyer. That's what you do. You don't say anything. That's what I've learned watching the first 48. You don't say anything. You just sit there. Where were you Tuesday, July 9th? Am I being charged with anything? Where were you? I'm not answering that. Am I being charged with anything? If I'm not, I'm leaving. If I am, I'm getting a lawyer. That's all you do. That's what I learned on the first 48. But it's scary. It's scary to stand up to cops. You know, I think that that's like what you'd like to think that you did. I think that on the first 48, they just show all the good shit where they don't slap the living shit out of somebody. And they basically, they solve all the murders on that show. You know, they don't show the ones. There's been a couple of guys, I guess. What am I, 5 minutes? Oh, 6 minutes in. Isn't that enjoyable? Here's an article that somebody sent me. Oh, fuck that. If I go right into the articles, then I'm going to be reading for 55 minutes, and this podcast is going to suck. Now, goddamn it, Bill. Fucking man up and tell a goddamn story. All right, you want to hear a story? I'm desperately, desperately trying to get back on my diet. Oh, my God. My stomach is hanging over my trousers. No, I went on the road for 2.5 weeks and try as much as I could to try to do my road diet, which is to have oatmeal in the morning, some sort of salad with a fucking slab of fish, you know, stay away from the booze. That's what I try to do, okay? And I can do that for the most part for a weekend if I'm on the road. Like this week, I'm going out to Columbus, Ohio. All right? I'm playing the Funny Bone down at the mall, everybody. All right? Now, a lot of you guys, you take me for granted. You know, guys don't realize how big I am at this point. I am playing the Funny Bone Comedy Club at the mall in Columbus, Ohio. Okay? Now, don't you guys wish that you took some chances in your life? Huh? So you could stand, dance like a monkey in between a Hot Topic and a Sunglass Hut? What'd you guys do? You picked the safe route, didn't you? Ooh, I'm going to get an education. Nah, who's laughing now? As you sit there in your four-bedroom colonial next to your tanned-up wife, shot out three fucking kids, still has a flat stomach because you got enough money to suck the fat out of her stomach with a I love you, baby, liposuction gift certificate. That's all empty. I'm telling you guys, you haven't fucking lived until you're across from a Sears and Roebuck and, you know, in catty corner from a fucking JCPenney, and you stood there and you told your unresearched jokes. I can't fucking wait to do this gig. Last night, I went out to Flappers. I swear to God, that's the name of a comedy club, Flappers, in Burbank. And I think that that's an old showbiz term that meant dancing whore in the vaudeville days. And I went out there, and I had a great goddamn time. There's something I'm working on in my act right now. I'm not going to tell you guys what it is, all right? Because that would be like if I fucking showed you the rabbit, I put it in a hat, and then said, hey, watch me pull a rabbit out of the hat, you know? I'm sure I used that example before, but you know what? Why don't you wing a podcast a fucking hour every goddamn week, and let me see if you don't repeat stories. Jesus, the attitude of you people this week on a goddamn holiday. Stand the fuck down! Yeah, this is basically what you do. You treat stand-up just like a fucking athlete would. All right? Look at Dirk Nowitzki. Didn't he have some sort of problem with his game? I don't even know what the fuck it is. I don't know what the fuck he does. Let's pick Shaq. All right? Let's say Shaq. If Shaq was a stand-up comedian, he would not have changed a joke for 20 years of doing stand-up. All right? He sucked at taking foul shots at the beginning of his career, and he sucked at the end of it. He didn't work on his goddamn game. All right? He was a big goof. He dunked the ball, and he slammed his nuts in people's faces. He did it from day one right into the end of his fucking career. Everyone knew he was going to do it. More of the same, Shaq. And then you got other people. They adjust their fucking game. So as me, I don't know what to do. What am I supposed to do with my act? I've already done 2-hour-long specials. I got to try something new. So I'm going into new uncharted territory. And I've been doing the work. I can use the left hand now. I can hold the mic in the left hand now. Basically, is what the fuck was that even remotely interesting? I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. All I know is I'm excited that I am back in Los Angeles after last week when I was put on punishment on my own goddamn podcast. And I'll tell you, I will never forgive New Jersey for that. In my 4 years of doing a podcast, I have never been so insulted by a poor excuse for a state in my entire life. The fucking nerve of the hotel system out there in New Brunswick, New Jersey, to treat me like that. If you think I'm ever going to go back out there and grace that fucking stage, you are absolutely correct. Because I'm a whore. I'm always going to do it. I don't give a shit. I don't care if you make me whisper my entire fucking podcast. I will come back to whatever mall you have, and I will tell jokes, because what else am I going to do? You know? You can't parachute out of this fucking job. You can't tell jokes for 20 fucking years and then decide that you're going to be a lawyer. Or can you? I don't fucking know. All I know is lately I've had a number of people from the past, like people I haven't seen in like 15 years, will come walking up to me and be like, hey, remember me? Remember we did stand-up back when Kurt Cobain was still alive? And I'd be like, oh, yeah, how you doing? How are you? And then they'll tell him, yeah, you know, I'm thinking about getting back into it. And I always, whenever they say that to me, I want to grab the nearest blunt object and start smashing them over the head with it. You know, it's like, why the fuck would you ever get into this awful business in your 40s? Why would you ever do that? I can see being dumb in your 20s. I'm going to be a star. People are going to love me. That's going to be who is. That's what you're supposed to think at your 20s. Then you fucking get in there and you see what it really is. Standing in a mall. Sliding into 50. Why? I swear to God, the next motherfucker from my stand-up past who comes up to me telling me that they were smart enough to get out of this goddamn business. They got married. They had kids. They got a fucking job. And now for some reason, they're thinking of throwing that all in the shitter and getting back in this goddamn business. I swear to God, I am going to buy one Jackie Onassis glove that goes right up to my elbow. And I'm going to put it on really slowly. And then slowly I'm going to take it off and I'm going to slap him across the fucking face with it. Are you out of your goddamn mind? Don't you realize that most of us end up on cruise ships? Why would you do that to your family? All right? You were smart enough to leave. Okay? So if there's anybody from my stand-up past who's listening to this and is thinking about getting back in this business, let me tell you, you made the right decision. Okay? Jesus Christ. All right. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about here. All right, let's tell a couple of stories. I went to a fucking awesome wedding this weekend. It was actually an after party. This couple did it perfectly. They eloped. Bing, bang, boom. They got fucking married. And they announced it. Everybody was excited for them. And then they had a fucking after party like 3 months later. They have this after party. Everybody gets dressed up. They got a permit. They go to the park. It's fucking free. And all everybody has to do is just bring food. And if you traveled, they said just bring drinks. And if your birthday was in June, make desserts. And that was it. And we went there. We had a great fucking time. They had a talent show. And everybody was going up. And it was all these people who could sing and play, you know, guitars and stuff. And they were singing these songs, celebrating this couple, finding love, and getting married. One of those awesome, awesome fucking receptions that actually makes you want to get married. You know what I mean? You know those ones you go to where you're just sitting there going, oh, Jesus, I give this about 3 months. Oh, I've told this story before. Oh, go fuck yourselves. That time I went to that wedding and the groom was toasting his wife, his bride, and he was like searching for words. He's like, I'd like to toast my wife for granting me. I was just, everybody's just staring down at their fucking half-eaten chicken. Oh, it was awful. But this was the opposite. This was awesome. They were both glowing. They were excited, and their parents were happy, and it was fucking great. So, and the food was great. Somebody brought like a bunch of In-N-Out burgers. It was the shit. All right? It was the best goddamn wedding I ever went to. Me and Nia went. We had a great fucking time. So we're sitting there. We're watching all these talented people going up there. Some people being funny. Some people singing these really great songs. And it was just awesome. And all of it was in celebration of this couple finding love. Okay? And then all of a sudden, this fucking lady goes up to the mic. All right, right off the bat, just to give you a little description. She's wearing a pretty much see-through dress. Like, if you're close enough, you can see her bra and panties, but there's enough of a pattern where they're not totally exposed, but there's not enough of a pattern that you can't see her bra and panties. So right off the bat, she's given, you know what I mean? It's like when a defensive tackle figures out whatever the quarterback's tick is and can figure out if it's a run or a pass. It's the same thing. She went up there with her bra and panties exposed. Right there, she's saying, I am going to try and steal focus and make this shit all about me. But, you know, nobody really saw it coming. So she walks up there, and after everybody is sitting at this wonderful fucking wedding that is celebrating these two wonderful people finding love, she goes up there, and this is her opener. She goes up, and on the mic, she goes, I think I deserve a round of applause because I'm the one who set these two people up. That's how she starts. There's an awkward pause, awkward silence, and then people just sort of clap like, okay. And then she proceeds to tell a story of how she met her and the groom. She started to tell the story of how she set up the bride and the groom. And she starts talking about how the groom, he had just got out of this treacherous relationship. Remember, she kept using that word, treacherous relationship. I had also gotten out of a treacherous relationship. She starts bringing up exes, okay? She already made it about herself. She got a fucking round of applause. And then she took a bow like she was, like we decided to applaud her, like she was mocking the applause. It's like, no, bitch, you fucking asked for it, all right? Then she brings up this dude's exes. And then she starts talking about how when she introduced the two of them, they talked for like an hour. And afterwards, I said to the bride, so what did you think? She goes, you know, nice guy. And then I said, I think he's really into you. And then she said, oh, he was into me? I thought he was gay. So she brings up the groom questioning basically his sexuality. And it was a fucking masterpiece. 10 minutes of just, she steered the wedding into the sun and she came out the other fucking side and everyone was on fire after. It was so fucking horrific. You know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of back in the day when I first started doing stand-up and I was working the Kowloon, the Chinese restaurant up on Route 1 in Saugusto. Get a fucking poo-poo platter, kid. Fucking scorpion bowls. Shows you how far I've come. I've come from working upstairs at a Chinese restaurant to working in a mall in Columbus, Ohio. I actually love that fucking gig. And when I'm in the club, I feel like I'm in a comedy club. But when I walk out, you know, oh, God, and I'm across from a fucking Dick's Sporting Goods, it just kills it for me. So anyways, plowing ahead. What that lady did, it reminded me of when I first started off doing comedy and I was sitting at the back of it was Nick's Comedy Stop at the Kowloon, and I was in the back, and I was watching these guys who have been doing it for like 5-6 years, and I was in awe of this game that they were playing, because I was so new. I would go on stage, and all I wanted was the crowd to like me, so I could somehow not get heckled, not get booed, and survive another day in this fucking brutal business. But these guys, you know, they knew what the fuck they were doing. So they were playing this game where you would go on stage and the first thing out of your mouth, you had to completely make turn the crowd off. You had to make the crowd fucking hate you. Absolutely fucking hate you. And then you immediately go right into your act and you never addressed what the fuck you said. You never say that it was a joke. You just don't address it. And then you try and see if you can get them back. And it was fucking hilarious. But it was really hard to find that perfect thing to say to make everybody immediately fucking hate you. What most comics did was they went so far that what they said was so over the top and so ridiculous that the crowd knew they weren't serious and they would actually laugh. I swear to God, it's like a tightrope. I don't know that you can do it on purpose, but this lady at the wedding was the greatest I've ever seen anybody do that. She walked up there and I think I deserve a round of applause. Immediately, I hated her. And you felt it. I'm projecting here, but I think some people are just too good of human beings to just hate someone like that or even suspect. They're just such good people that they would never suspect that somebody would try to make a moment like that about themselves. Then you got a jaded cunt like me, okay? And I see through this bitch just like I can see right through her fucking dress. But I have to tell you, the more I thought about it, it was almost like performance art. So now that I feel like I've told this story way too fucking long, but if you guys have any stories like that, like the Steve Buscemi character in Adam Sandler's The Wedding Crasher, that's basically what I was watching. And if you guys have any great stories like that, like really unique ones, I don't want to hear the ones that he got drunk and he said something stupid. I think those have been done to death. Unless you have a really unique story or possibly video of it, I'd love to see it. But anyways, so then she ended up getting off and then the ceremony continued and it was fucking tremendous. I actually had a couple of those moments this weekend. You know, I was, like I said, I'm off my diet. What kind of a fucking man am I that I'm talking about being on a goddamn diet? What happened? You know what? You know what I love about the Greatest Generation is when you walk down the street, you say hello to them. They enthusiastically say hello back to you. I fucking love old people. I was walking down the street with my dog, Cleo, right? We had just gone on a hike. And I see this older fella. He's walking the other way. And he's looking right at me. And I said, hey, good morning. And he goes, hey, good morning to you too. How are you? You know, nice little conversation. Made you feel like you were in the beginning of like a Disney movie, right? And then like another 30 yards down the street, there's someone from like my generation. So that guy put a fucking song in my heart. I'm half skipping down the street. I see this person my age. I'm like, hey, how you doing? And the person was just like, hey, yeah, mumbled some shit. It's like, you know what? I hope you get hit by a fucking car. So anyways, as I said, I'm off my diet. And I was coming back home from the club. You know, because I ate like shit when I was on the road. And I'm on the crack right now. I got the sugar and salt pouring through my system. And I'm driving home. And I just want to go home, and my fucking body's going, go into the supermarket, buy a vat of ice cream, and fucking stick it in your pie hole. You know? So I'm a weak individual. I pull into Ralph's, the worst name ever for a grocery store. Ralph's, slang for puking, and you sell food, right? No one ever thought that? How big is your goddamn ego, Ralph, that you still named it after yourself? So anyways, I go into this place and I get the fucking ice cream. And as I'm standing up there, I see there's this impulse buy things. It says, the top, whatever, fucking 20 places to get breakfast in Los Angeles. And they got on the cover, they got this goddamn egg, ham, bacon, and cheese sandwich on a buttery biscuit. It just looked absolutely delicious. Like I said, I'm on the crack. You know, if I was eating oatmeal and having the salads and all that type of shit, I would look at it and that food wouldn't even make sense to me. You know? But because I got the salt and sugar in my veins right now, I'm fiending. I was like, I'm buying that fucking magazine. If I could eat that cover right now, I would. So I buy the magazine. I come home. I show it to my lady, right? And they got all this list of the best fucking places to get breakfast in Los Angeles. And so we decide we're going to pick one out. We're going to go there the next day. And I got to tell you something. I got an overrated for you. Overrated. Picking up a fucking magazine that lists 10 great places to go to breakfast and then believing that no one else read the magazine and there's not going to be a line 3 miles long the next fucking morning when you show up to get your pancakes. That's exactly what happened. We pull up and I see this fucking, looks like a goddamn bread line during the Depression. And I'm with Nia and her mom and I immediately just go, hey, you guys want to go somewhere else? And then somebody in the car goes, well, there's probably going to be a line everywhere, right? So we fucking stand in line for 40 minutes. Got to the point I'm crouching down like my back is killing, my lower back. Like I'm so old I can't stand for longer than like 20 minutes without my lower back killing me. So I'm standing there 40 minutes in. I'm crouching down like, you ever see Asians when they have a conversation in China, how they just fucking, they can crouch down like that. And or people in India, you know, they crouch down like that. They've been doing it their whole lives. So their hamstrings are all stretched out. I was squatting down like that. My big head turning all red. I'm trying to stand in a little bit of the shade. And I don't know. Finally, I was like, let's get the fuck out of here, right? So everybody agreed. We leave and we end up going. I mean, we stood in line for breakfast so long, it was now time to get lunch. So we end up going down. We were on Santa Monica and we go down into West Hollywood. And there's a place down there, Hamburger Harry's. They have great fucking, they got great burgers. And it's one of, but it's also one of the gayest places you'll ever go to in your life. I didn't realize how gay it was. And I went there and the waiter was like really gay or whatever, but I didn't really think about it, right? So I drop off the ladies and I go over and I park the car. I get out of the car and I come walking in and I'm starving. And as I'm walking in, all of a sudden this guy pushes me in the back. Like gave me a nice little shove. And I turn around and he goes, do you need a table? this fucking gay dude pushed me in the back. He pushed me. Like fucked in, like not hard enough to make me stumble, but hard enough to fuck up the gait of my walk. And I immediately, you know, felt the feelings you feel when somebody fucking pushes you. When I turn around like, what the fuck? And the guy's just down there. Do you need a table? And I went, no, I'm meeting them over there. And then he kind of had a weird look on his face and he walked away. And I sit down and he's like, hey, how's it going? I'm like, what do you mean? How's it going? I go, that fucking gay guy just pushed me. So I tell her the story and I go, what the fuck? Is it some gay thing? You just fucking go around pushing people? And then Nia goes, he was probably hitting on you. Right? So now my ego kicks in. I'm like, fuck, I still am in shape. So for any of my fucking twinkle-toed listeners out there, is that how you guys hit on each other? Was that just like, hey, silly, do you want a table? Is that what he was doing? It was fucking annoying, whatever it was. Then I felt embarrassed. Then I felt bad, like that look on his face when I went, no, I'm sitting over here. Like then he thought that I don't know what, that I was saying, get out of here, you queer. You know, because that's a whole big fucking thing now. You got to be nice to those guys. You know what the fuck I'm saying. So anyways, so we sit down. All right. And immediately a dude comes over. Hi, can I take your order? We fucking order and we're getting our food immediately the way you should when you go out to eat. So now, despite the fact that the waiter pushed me like that dude who pushed Zdeno Chara after he scored the goal. That's basically how he pushed me. And then I turned around and looked at him like I was going to run him into the boards, basically, right? So they fucking bring the food over. It's delicious. Everything's going great. And then all of a sudden, this fucking dude gets on the mic and you can't see him. He's like, okay, everybody, show starting in 10 minutes, right? And I say to Nia, I go, what's going on? She goes, evidently they're going to have a show. So it's fucking broad daylight out. I guess they're going to come out and drag and they're going to do a show. Like, this is how gay this place is, that they're going to have a brunch slash transvestite lip sync fucking show. And I got to tell you, it was absolutely fucking hilarious. We were sitting there and the guy on the mic, it's like 11:30 in the morning, and he said cunt on the mic. He goes, come on, bitches, drink up. We're having a show. Don't be a bunch of something. He goes, sorry, I'm sorry. I'm just feeling a little cunty. I'm sitting there with Nia's mom, and this guy starts saying cunt like every other fucking word in broad daylight. And as a comedian, I had to respect the guy. All right, I've never said cunt on stage when the sun's out. I'm not going to lie to you. I barely say it on stage. I say it a ton of times here because it's ridiculous, but I really don't say it that much on a comedy club stage. And this dude slash half a lady is saying cunt every other word at brunch. And so anyway, so they come down, like three of them. The host sucked, right? He had this giant head with this huge fucking... I don't know what, blonde wig on. And he was like doing jokes that should have been funny but weren't. At some point, he said something about a bloody pussy. And we're sitting here eating brunch, and he makes a bloody pussy joke. So just as a comedian, this should have been hilarious, but the timing was awful. He'd say the setup, and then he'd mumble the punchline. And he was annoying me. The next one came out, was all right. The dude looked like Nancy Grace, so that was cracking me up. And then the next one looked like a soccer mom. If she was in Battlestar Galactica, you know when they have those, they get that Woodstock Ellen DeGeneres haircut. Kind of had that, but spiked up. And that was hilarious. And then the last one freaked me out. There's always one that's going to freak you out because it's going to almost look like a fucking chick. So it had like ass implants, and it's like I'm trying to eat. And I got to get out of here. So I go up, I walk out of the restaurant because, you know, it's one of those deals. It's like when in Rome, you went into their place, so you got to tolerate. Then it becomes, there's that point where you're just like, all right, this is too fucking creepy. I got to get out of here, you know? So I walk out and I'm standing on the corner out in front of this place that turned into the gayest place I've ever been in. And I got to tell you, I walk down the street all the time in L.A. Nobody ever tells me that they saw me. Nobody's ever seen me. Nothing. I come walking out of this place, right? And this behind me is this the transvestite that almost looks like a chick with ass implants and is dancing to Salt and Pepper, Push It. I swear to God. So I'm standing out in front of that place. And it's that part of the song that's going, ah, push it. Dun-dun-dun-dun. And this guy pulls up from the comedy store, stopping at the red light. He's like, hey, Bill, how you doing? And I'm just like, hey, how's it going? Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun in the fucking background. And my face literally turned red with embarrassment. But fortunately, the guy owned a restaurant across the way. So then he ended up coming out, how fucking funny is that? He comes over to me and he goes, to shoot the shit because I've been telling him I was going to go to his restaurant. And that just then, fortunately, Nia and her mom walked out. And I've never been so relieved to be like, this is my girlfriend and this is her mom. I didn't know that there was going to be a fucking, it was like a mid-80s, I don't know what, a mid-80s, sitcom, you know, where there's a situation. Did that even make sense? Hey, Nia. Let me see if I can get her in here for a second. Hang on a second. All right, here we go. I just hit pause. I brought the lovely Nia in once again. The lovely Nia coming back to the podcast. How are you, sweetheart?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm telling the story of how I just got done telling the story of how we went to that, you know, that brunch place. And there was the unbelievably long bread line. Remember that? And I was crouching down. My back was killing me. So then we went down to Hamburger Harry's and all of a sudden the transvestite.
Mary's.
Hamburger Mary's. Whatever. Okay.
And Mary, of course. It's the gay place in West Hollywood.
Yeah.
How can you forget that it's Mary?
No, there was a place in New York called Hamburger Harry. So maybe that's what it was. But I was just telling listeners, I was never so fucking relieved as when you and your mom came out after that fucking.
Oh, right. After you. That place is awesome.
It was awesome. That was that last dude fucking freaked me out. That was too weird. I don't mind. Like, transvestites are fucking hilarious to me, especially if they're a little bit angry, you know? Mm-hmm. Why was I born with a dick? If that was fucking the underlining thing of all their comedy, is fucking hilarious to me. There actually used to be a tranny fucking stand-up in New York, went by the name of Sharon Needles.
Mm-hmm.
Like sharing needles.
Right.
And she was, or he, whatever the fuck you're supposed to say. It's a he. It's a he.
It doesn't, why does it hurt you to say the pronoun that they would prefer? It's
because
no
I feel like
it does nothing
to
be respectful of the fact that they want to be called she or he or depend. It does, it's no skin off your ass.
Because it feels phony.
No,
it feels like I'm engaging.
It doesn't impact your life in that serious of a way. Come on. Give me a break.
Wait, why can't I say how I feel about it? You're talking over me here.
Because you're acting like it really makes you feel like, oh, I'm living a lie by you. Like, come on.
I can't sit there and go like, oh, she, knowing that he's got a fucking dick and balls. It's a guy in a dress. And I just feel like you're fucking sitting there. It's like you're sitting there with an alky, and you're acting like they're not an alky.
Oh,
and you're
gonna that's really
and you're gonna
not
sit there
the
and
same.
Enable them.
No, that's not the same.
What do you? No, I got to be honest. I don't know why. It's weird.
Well, fine, but don't. It's, maybe it's weird for you, but yeah. Don't compare people being transgender to being alcoholics because it's not the same thing.
Why?
At all.
It's a lot. A guy who's an alcoholic and he's acting like he's not an alcoholic.
Are you joking?
I am. I've never been more fucking serious. It's the podcast. Nothing. This whole fucking thing is a joke. So anyways, this dude used to go up there in a dress, Sharon Needles, and would go up. It was absolutely fucking hilarious. For some reason, stopped doing it. But the dude was hilarious.
You like Murray Hill, too. Remember Murray Hill when we went to go see Dita Von Teese and Murray Hill was the MC?
Oh, and I was so disappointed with that fucking show. She was hilarious.
She.
It's a fucking she.
He.
She's got a vajayjay.
He. Where were you? No, you weren't.
Fucking
you weren't disappointed in Murray Hill.
No. She was fucking hilarious.
He.
She saved the show. But the fucking, we go down there. Well, who's the lady? The lady who was dancing that night?
Dita Von Teese.
Yeah. So this fucking, the girl used to be married to Marilyn Manson.
Yes.
So Nia goes, hey, Bill, you want to come down to this show? It's going to be a burlesque show. This girl's fucking hot. She's going to be prancing around in her underwear.
Love Dita Von Teese.
Right? I'm like, abso-fucking-lutely. Mm-hmm. What a great idea. I would love to go do it. And I went down there thinking that this was just going to be sort of an upscale titty bar show. And I went down there and it was the gay, it was all gay guys. And those two douchebags making out. It was fucking gross.
It was a little much.
It was fucking gross.
If they were straight,
if
it
they
would
were
have
straight,
been too much.
If they were straight, making out like that, it was fucking gross.
Yeah, it was too much. People
yeah,
shouldn't be. They were literally they were
stubble.
On their, they were on their way to having sex. That's how much
it was
they
fucking
were making
disgusting.
Out. It was too much.
Yeah, and I felt the whole thing was false advertising.
How so?
Because you're showing some lady's gonna go in there and strip down to her fucking hoo ha. You think you're going to be going in there. It's going to be a bunch of guys going, yeah, see it. Show your tits.
It's a burlesque show. It's a totally different crowd than
all right,
a strip club.
Well, I didn't realize that.
Now you know.
Now I know.
The more you know.
So well, anyways.
What's going on here? So you're talking about Hamburger Mary's?
I don't know. You know, I think I fucked up. I should have brought you in as I told the story. I decided for some dumb reason to tell the story first and then bring you in. During the epilogue, this is like the end of like Chips right now, where we're supposed to tell a joke and then laugh and then they freeze us. That's basically what's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
Is that it?
I think we're just going to stare each other.
Okay.
So we've decided that we're going to visit these other hot breakfast places that they have out here.
Yeah.
But we're going to do it on days when people have to go to work.
That's right. We're not going to go on weekends when there's like
what is
the typical
this, what has this podcast just become right now? This is really just
talking about brunch.
It's just become a fucking relationship podcast. We have to get out of this. You know what? Let's do some advice here.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Bring it. Who was your favorite transvestite of the show? I told
the last performer that was fantastic. Fucking,
with the ass implants, that was fucking creepy.
She was hot.
It's a guy. Oh, you know something? I wish that.
Why are you yelling?
Because that's what I do. Because I wasn't allowed to yell last week. It's the only way I'm funny. I have to yell and I have to curse and I have to say rude shit. It is a crutch. It's what I do. It's my thing. It's my hook. See? You know what? I wish that last fucking lady that you're saying dropped his fucking coochie cutters and his junk just spilled out. Just to watch the look on your face when you saw his hair. All right, can you have a little consideration for my fucking listeners? This was just supposed to be it was supposed to be a funny story about me walking out and standing in front of basically a gay bar, and then somebody fucking drives by. Hey, Bill, how's it going?
It was your second time being outed as a patron of Hamburger Mary's by someone that didn't. The first time we went there, you got outed by somebody that was like, "What are you doing here?"
The fucking burgers are delicious. What do you want from
that
me?
That place is great, but that was not burgers. The first time you have been outed.
And you know what's funny? Every time I go there, that's right. Every time I go there, that was
you
hilarious.
Get spotted.
And that dude was going, "So, what are you doing here?"
Yeah, he
I'm
was
like,
"Why?"
Oh, I'm here getting a burger. And he goes, "Do you live in this neighborhood?"
I know.
And I'm like, he was totally trying to figure me out.
But that place is great. The waiters are nice. The atmosphere is fun.
Hey, Nia, you know what?
I've
never been married. I don't have any kids. I'm still in shape. I'm fucking having burgers in West Hollywood. I mean, Jesus Christ. It's all there. A bunch of red flags. All right. Here's, do I dare read this one with you in the fucking room?
Oh, no.
Why? No, this is one about a threesome.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about, let's go with Still a Virgin. Hola, Bill. My younger brother and I have been having this debate about whether he took his girlfriend's virginity. Oh, I thought this was going to be about a guy who's still a virgin. All right, this might get ugly. All right, my brother and I have been having this debate about whether he took his girlfriend's virginity. Basically, my brother, who is now 20, has been dating the same chick since they met in Catholic high school. He says his girlfriend is saving herself for marriage like a good Catholic. My brother, on the other hand, lost his virginity before they met. So get this. Get a load of this. This guy's writing it like it's a 20. Here's the kicker, see? Instead of typical fucking, this chick lets my brother fuck her in the ass. Let's read that again. So get this. Get a load of this. Instead of typical fucking, this chick lets my brother fuck her in the ass. And furthermore, she has convinced him that she is still a virgin. I tell my brother first, consider yourself lucky because most women will never let you do that. And second, this chick is not only a fucking whore, but is fucking royally stupid. According to her Catholic standards, if you only have anal sex, then you're still a virgin. This is complete horseshit. It's sad to me because I know this isn't an isolated incident, but rather a growing phenomenon. What websites are you going to, sir? It appears that more and more so-called Catholic school goody-two-shoe bitches have been brainwashed to think that they are holy in the eyes of the Lord by maintaining their virginity even though they spread their butt cheeks and show the... all right,
yeah,
Jesus
yeah,
Christ.
We get it.
Please, Bill, for the love of all that is holy, help me to convince not only my brother, but all these so-called children of God that even if you don't fuck a girl in their vagina, that a girl loses her virginia. Virginity.
Virginia, there is.
When she gets banged in the age.
This is the problem with lack of sexual education in this country, particularly when it comes to, like, Catholic school and religion.
All right, before you get on your soapbox, do you feel...
I thought that's why I was
do
in
you
here,
feel,
to get on my soapbox.
I just knocked you off. Do you feel that this woman is still a virgin?
No.
She's not a virgin?
No.
Even though when you go to put it in her...
Her hymen isn't broken, but
her
she's
hymen isn't place. It's basically
but no,
the
she's
seal
not
hasn't been broken on the bottle, yeah. But you screwed in the bottom and all the liquid is poured out.
Yeah. But this is the problem, though, because it's like you're supposed to be this virtuous woman. So, yeah, it does create this weird complex in you.
And then you do one of the most skankiest sex acts you could possibly do.
Why is that skanky?
I
It's all sex.
Look.
The thing is, you listen. Oh. Because different a sex act is a sex act. They shouldn't be demonized one way or another. And I take umbrage with this guy calling this girl a whore just because she's having anal sex. Okay? Are you a whore because you bang girls? Shut the fuck up.
I don't like that judgment. That's wrong. That's the wrong way to look at it.
No, he's not a whore. Well, he's calling her a whore just because she's having anal sex.
She is a whore.
Why?
Because she took it in the age.
So do a lot of people. That doesn't make them whores. It's a sex act.
Yeah, but it's a dirty, filthy one.
Well, that's your issue, and people need to let that go.
But as far as him, though, it doesn't matter what he does. He's never going to be a whore. He's a guy.
Right.
Listen, I'll explain it to you this way.
If you take that patronizing tone with me, you don't.
Well, you already used the word umbrage.
Yeah, because I'm smart. Don't get
all right. You're all right. Insecure. You're right. I don't know what umbrage. I take umbrage with the fact that you used umbrage and didn't warn me that you were going to do that. Didn't you see the look in my eyes? What the fuck is that? Was this Meet the Press?
No.
Listen to me.
I've heard a lot of girls are doing that these days. They're having anal sex, thinking that it's not regular sex, but it's all sex, people. So if you're taking it in the ass or you're taking it in the vag.
No. Okay, let's look at it like a drug way, okay? In a drug sense.
Okay.
All right? Making out, that's like you had a beer. Getting felt up, you smoked a joint. Mm-hmm. Going to third, going to second. What base am I on right now? Third. Going to third is like you just did some blow and getting fucked. No, wait.
I went all over the place.
I lost my train of thought there. Okay, if it was like drugs. Okay, yeah. First base is drinking. Second base is weed. Third base is coke.
Uh-huh.
Or maybe shrooms. It's shrooms. Home is coke. And then getting banged in the ass is heroin with some meth. That's like you're not coming back. All right? So she skipped. That's what she did. She went from just sort of drinking and smoking some weed and went straight to meth. It's beyond, NeNe. It's beyond. You ran past home plate. You went into the dugout. You kept going past the showers and you ran right out of the fucking stadium.
Why is he worried about his brother and the girl that he's fucking? Why don't you worry about getting your own piece of tail?
He actually agrees with you. He agrees with you that there's a misinformation out here.
Yeah, but he's directing it towards the girls that are doing it, not to the people who come up with these rules to begin with.
That's what I wanted to explain to you. I'm standing up. I'm walking around.
If he really is interested, I'm about ready to drop some knowledge.
All right, here you go. This is the deal.
He's not interested in knowledge. He's interested in judgment and shaming people. That's what he's interested in.
They just never stop. This is why. This is why if a guy does it, he's not a whore. If a woman does it, she is. Okay? This is, first of all, why it's not a big deal if a guy engages in that act. It's basically, it's because we enter. You know, you allow somebody to enter your body. That's like so much more than like what the fuck we do. That's why sex is not a big deal to us. I've told you this analogy before that basically, like this is the deal. If somebody said, hey, I'll give you $1,000 to go over to that. Say there's a birthday cake. Give you $1,000 to go over there and just stick your finger in it.
Uh-huh.
You do it in a second, right?
Yes.
If somebody said, I'll give you $1,000 to take that cake and shove it up your ass. All right. You'd have some questions. Where has that cake been? What do I get out of it? You to negotiate for more fucking money. So that's the same thing. That's just what we do. Sticking our fingers in cakes. That's how much sex means to us.
I think that's bullshit.
That's it. Well, I don't expect you to understand it.
I'm not saying that I don't understand. This isn't about my comprehension.
That's why you guys think way more about who you're going to have sex with because you're letting somebody enter your fucking body.
No, I'm just walking around.
I'm poking people.
No, it's conditioning. It's not like reality. It's conditioning. It's you grow up with this idea that you're supposed to not feel a certain way.
And if you use the word society, I swear to God, we are just brainwashed from day one that what we do is wrong.
It's conditioning. There are many guys who have had emotional moments when having sex with somebody. They just don't want to talk about it or admit it. You.
I've had an emotional moment?
Yeah.
Like what?
Like oh, that? God.
Why are you making it sound like I cried or something during? I never did that.
No, no, you never did that.
But, so what? Why did you just say that? You're just making shit up. You went from, I'm sure there's guys out there. There's no research behind that. And then you just threw that out there.
Would you like me to talk about my research or would that make you uncomfortable?
Oh, this is World Series of Poker. You just went all in. Now I got to figure out if you're bluffing or not. Am I going to call your hand? Oh, you're staring right at me. Ah, you fucking pain in the ass. I'm folding. I'm folding. Why do you always do this to me on the podcast?
Do what?
This is the second time.
Call you on your bullshit? I thought that's what I was here
if
for.
If you ever do that again, saying that, nodding with your eyebrows, calling you on your bullshit. Ah, the fucking ego of females. You guys are just always patting yourselves on the back.
As are you.
Let me tell you something right now. Nia, if you were a fucking dude right now, I'd kick you in the chest and watch you fall right off the bed. But I can't do it. Because that's what you deserve right now. But I can't do it because you're a lady. You know what I love about yelling in this fucking apartment? Is I love that it bugs that old motherfucker downstairs. Okay?
I know.
And I know that he calls. I'm whispering again like I'm back in Brunswick. I'm having a Vietnam flashback. I love that he calls and complains. And I love that the landlord doesn't give a fuck because we pay like 90 times what that guy pays.
Yeah, exactly.
And at the end of the day. So that's, you know, we're like a fucking superpower up here. And he's a third world country. And he's down there picking the coffee beans. And we're coming in, taking them all and telling him to go back to his fucking hut. You know? And then my landlord is buying into the fact that we're actually helping him to become free, right?
Yeah.
I can't remember if I already said that on this podcast because I started and stopped this thing. So, anyways, let's move on. Let's move on to another one. It's about threesomes, Nia. Mm-hmm. Okay, will you stop rubbing your feet together? She has this thing where she just always is rubbing her feet together.
It's called self-soothing.
Yeah, my world is called jerking off. Oh, all right. Hi, Bill. How are you? I'm a big fan out of Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. I've been up there, Northlands Coliseum. One of the greatest hockey team. One of the greatest.
I was going to say, I've heard you talk about it in regards to hockey.
Yes.
Edmonton.
Okay, you got fans up here, so pull a Louis C.K. and come up. I guess Louis was just up there. Some good food, some good beer. That you no longer drink, and some women that I feel put Montreal to shame.
Oh, shit.
I like that, huh? I like the ladies.
Okay.
Need some advice, and if you felt like bringing in the lovely Nia, lady.
How sweet.
Then by all means do so, as a woman's thoughts would be very welcomed. All right. Here we go. My fiancé from Virginia told me recently that one of her fantasies is a threesome with another lady. Thing is, whenever I bring it up, she gets squeamish about it. I've come across two separate women that have said they're interested in her as a couple, but when it was time to meet, my fiance pretty much said she didn't want to. Once was due to my fiance being 3 months pregnant with
you
our first
bag.
Born.
You dirtbag.
Hey, we don't judge on the podcast.
Why would you even say, you know, you're not a dirtbag. That's actually really hilarious. But how inappropriate would it be to have a, well, I'm sure people have done worse.
I wonder how that would damage the kid.
Damage the kid?
Just how the kid is in there and he can hear, like, you
know.
No,
they can't.
You know?
What?
Maybe the kid would become a porn star. You never seen that thing where people read books to the womb and the kid comes out and all of a sudden he can do calculus? You never seen that? You play music to the
well,
kid
anyway,
and he comes out and he's
months,
like, fucking Mozart?
Pregnant.
Wait a minute.
The baby's not that. Anyway, can we just keep reading? Just keep reading.
What's it, like a little tadpole in there? Just you can't understand anything?
It's not going to be affected by a threesome.
Is that when it looks like a bit? Yeah,
that
at that
to
point
make
it looked.
Happened during her 3 months. Being pregnant.
That's when the baby looks like a little T-Rex with one of those fucking alien heads. All right. Once it was due to my fiance being 3 months pregnant with our firstborn, and the second time was because I had a crush on said woman. Well, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, no,
give yourself a dog in the fight, sir. So what gives? This guy's a moron. This guy is a moron. I don't get what's going on.
What's the problem?
Wow. She's fond of girl porn when she rubs one out, makes comments when we're in public about other women being attractive sexually, so she portrays herself as into them, yet she doesn't pursue her supposed fantasy, and when I bring it up, she seems put off about the whole thing. Should I keep trying to make it happen or just throw in the towel?
Oh, yeah, because it's going really good so far.
Hey, hey, hey. We give people hope during the advice section.
Yeah.
And she's most likely...
Keep pursuing it because your methods are obviously amazing.
Oh, good. As she's most likely saying... Well, if he didn't need help, he wouldn't have wrote in. And she's most likely saying she's into the three-way to appease me in some warped, twisted woman way. Thanks for the advice. Go fuck yourself. All right. Here we go. All right, dude. There's a bunch of stuff going on here. First of all, yeah. I can't really say that those were attempts when you tried to have a threesome when your fiancé was 3 months pregnant with a baby. And then secondly, the fact that you're attracted to the other, yeah, you're not attracted. You had a crush on the other woman. There's rules to having a fucking threesome. You know, you can't have feelings for the other woman, and for the most part, you can't climax with the other one. That's also a problem. From what I've heard, I've never had one.
Right.
I never had. You know what? Twice in my life, I could have had a threesome when I was younger, but I was too fucking stupid to realize it was going on. I just remember seeing that going like, why won't her girlfriend leave? I'm trying to get laid here. Then right. Another time, I was working in Buffalo, and these girls just put it on the table. They put it on the table. They basically said, we're like a coalition. I remember they used that word. And one was hot, and the other one looked like a three-story brownstone. She was a fuck. She looked like a building. She was looked like a.
She was a grenade.
She was like 6'3". There was a guy who used to play for fucking the Portland Trailblazers, Duckworth. That's what she looked like with the vagina. And I was just, I never had that ability. I never had that ability to just bang something that I wasn't attracted to. It was just always disgusting to me. So there you go. So from what I've heard, sir, I am not speaking from a place of experience here, but I will tell you this. If you're going to have a fucking threesome, I wouldn't do it with someone who you're in a relationship with. I don't think the relationship is ever the fucking same. And I don't know. It's just a weird thing.
Well, I think like the issue that he's having with his wife now.
Fiance.
Whatever.
He's just marrying her 'cause he knocked her up.
Jesus. Is that she talks about wanting to be with women but is not acting on it. But a lot of times, you know, people have these sexual fantasies and they're just meant to be fantasies.
Yeah.
They're not really necessarily going to be a reality. Like, just because you know, in your mind's eye were like, ooh, that would be interesting, doesn't mean you're actually going to go through
like
it.
Like, a lot of women have the gangbang fantasy. That doesn't mean they're going to go into a fucking loading dock and lay down and be like, who wants it, right? Sorry, I have male listeners. I have to get to the point here.
Sure. You have female listeners too, you know. Yeah, so that doesn't necessarily mean that she's actually going to want to do it, and your methods of trying to go about it are just so off the mark, it's like laughable.
All right, well,
you know.
Let's say I wanted to have a threesome with you.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Yep.
Which I do. No, yeah. I don't. Okay. I do in my head, but I don't want to do it because it's going to fuck everything up.
You really think so?
Yes. It's going to be fucking weird. It's going to be weird. It's, you know what it is, Nia? You open too many Pandora's box, whatever the fucking expression is, you never come back. You don't come back.
Yeah.
And it's like you have to start over again. You'd have to, I don't know. You know, it's like we were talking about Madonna. Mm-hmm. Remember Madonna when they were playing, like, that was another thing too to add to the gayness of that bar. They were playing Madonna videos. And you were talking about her getting fucking divorced.
Yeah, I was saying
and her taste in men, how she likes those. What were you saying?
I was saying like when she wants a husband, she goes for like the alpha male white guy,
right?
You know, usually very like a macho strong man,
right?
But then when she has her lovers, that's when she has a 20-something-year-old Latino boy that no one's ever heard of. That's like her little boy toy.
So here's the thing: this girl is sold out fucking Madison Square Garden. She's already done the fucking astronaut tour. You know, the astronauts, they go around the fucking world. They see how beautiful it is, and then they start crying at a stoplight. You know, they've just seen too much. It's right. The same thing with her. She's seen too much. So there's no way she's ever going to be able to keep a marriage going. Because at any moment, as she has to sit there and be unselfish and listen to this fucking square-headed white guy
she likes. Yeah. She wants to do whatever
she likes square-headed white guys, right? Yeah. So as the guy's going like, you're not fucking giving me what I need. At any moment, she can pull the ripcord, still sell out Madison Square Garden, and then go bang some fucking stud fetish guy.
Mm-hmm.
If I had those options, Nia, you think I'd be listening to you?
Oh, shut up.
At any point, I could go in and fucking trade your ass in for some fucking 22-year-old. And just start blowing me immediately.
Please.
I'd be out of here in a second.
Yeah, right. I'd like to see you try it. Anyway,
that was some of the worst shit talking I've ever heard. Yeah, see? I'd like to see you try it. Why I oughta.
Yeah, why don't you let your back to
why don't you stop having a jerk tone to this guy and help him out?
Back to your listener. I was going to say, why don't you let the person that you're in the relationship with, why don't you let her lead the way on this? Because now you're just becoming like...
Bad advice.
That's guy that's putting all this pressure on her. Just let her open the door to it if she wants to. If not, leave it alone. There's no need to keep pushing it.
This is
know?
What you do. This what, is what you do.
Why is that bad advice again?
Because you don't know what you're talking about.
Yes, I do know what I'm talking
about.
No,
you don't.
A lot of people value my advice.
Here's the... I have self-esteem and I like myself.
That's right.
All right. Mm-hmm. This is the deal. All right. Fuck this. You want this to happen, sir? This is what you got to do. All right. If you listen to Nia and you let her lead the way, it's never going to happen. Okay. Because she's not going to act on it. The next time you find someone who finds you guys attractive as a couple, do not tell your fucking fiance about it. All right. You tell the girl that's into it. Listen, you got to fucking make it look natural. Sort of coerce her into it and that type of thing. You just make it seem like it's natural.
Oh, yeah. Coercion is great.
You go up to the bar, and then you just make it seem like it happened naturally, and then you never tell her the fucking secret. And then that's it. That's how you do it. Because right, she's not going to take the lead, and this guy is all fucking knees and elbows. She was pregnant, and I had a crush on the other girl? What gives? Yeah. No, just the next time that there's a girl that's fucking interested in you as a couple, don't tell your wife about it. And then go up there and just have her fucking strike up a conversation and just say, listen, do not flirt with me at all. Just flirt with her and get her fucking motor running. And then maybe it'll go down. And then what you want to do is try to start the kissing there at the bar.
It's actually not bad advice.
Thank you. Thank you. See, that's how you do it. Because I'm telling you, it's not going to happen. She's like, I like if I get scared. It's not going to happen. So you gotta make it seem like it's natural.
Yeah.
That's how you do it. You got to get sneaky there, sir. That's what I just advocated.
Fair enough.
Look at that, huh? Every once in a while, she agrees with me. what else? What else is there? All right. You're not going to like this one, Nia. This was some guy talking to me about sports. This is the last thing, and then I got to end the podcast here because I got shit to fucking do. Hi, Bill. I'm going to fuck with your little world here, buddy. This guy's coming real arrogant.
Wow.
I'm going straight into the shit talking. Then maybe I'll qualify my statements with some buttering up, you smug cunt. Love the intro.
I like him.
All right. I do not understand your fanatic fandom of professional sports, yet deplore the existence of large corporations and bankers. This is an oxymoron because professional sports are big corporations financed by international banks/bankers. I didn't know that. I thought they were mom and pop stores. I'm going to go out on a limb and say this is going to be really informative. The players are just commodities that these corporations buy and sell on the exchange. Ooh, he's doing a little parallel comparison there. You fucking moron. This is, you know what I love about this? Is if he just did this to piss me off, this is so fucking condescending. The players have no attachment to anything. They go where they make the most money.
Do they?
Really? I never noticed that all these years of watching people go into free agency. God, this is fascinating. Sports franchises, in quote, by the way, that is a business term and has nothing to do with sports, are run.
Oh my God,
they're,
really?
Listen to this, Nia. This is very informative. They're actually run by executives like CEOs, CFOs, etc. Do you believe that? I had no idea.
They only care about the financial performance of that corporation as their bonuses are directly tied to it. That's horseshit. That's horseshit. Not if it's family run. Steinbrenners don't care about that. They want to win. They want to win first. Obviously, they want to make money. So now you're speaking in generalizations. All right, players' bonuses are directly related to their performances on the field. Why is he explaining this to me? How could you hate corporations, bankers, etc., and have a love for professional sports as they are the same thing? Well, because the New England Patriots never spilled 9 zillion gallons of oil into the fucking Gulf of Mexico and then refused to fucking clean it up without the government bailing them out. That's why, sir. That's why. That's why. I understand that they're corporations. I understand that it's a business, and I understand. Like, how would I not understand? How, especially after this year, after they went on strike, and they're talking about how the players' union had a collective bargaining agreement, and how the owners agreed to it in 2006, and then decided that they weren't getting a big enough slice of the pie, so they just basically took their stadiums and went home, and then suggested that they play 18 games a year rather than 16, clearly not giving a fuck about the players and treating them just like commodities. I totally understand that, sir. But this is the thing. Sports, I guess if you were really going to be, the one thing that I will say about the corporations I don't like when they hold a town hostage and say, build us a new stadium or we're leaving. I always think the city should be like, yeah, we'll fucking leave. And then every other city is to say, well, we're not going to build you one. So now what are you going to do? But that's not going to happen. I understand, sir. I get that they're corporations. I get it. All right. Thank you for that. That guy is, I think he's douchebag of the week. He really is. He's comparing one world bank, one world currency, and microchipping people to the, I don't know, NFL football, the Vancouver Canucks. Evidently, they're just as bad as Chase Manhattan Bank. Great point, sir. Do you got any others you'd like to share? All right, this podcast went off the rails. All right. I was going to have an underrated, I was going to say college football in September. You know, when you're watching Nebraska play Bunker Hill Community College, you know, and they're favored by 72 points. And actually, I saw a bunch of good games this week. Utah State almost beat Auburn, right? You saw that game, didn't you?
Yeah.
You know something? I think I discovered a way to annoy Nia that I've never even thought of. I'll just talk about sports. All right, this podcast is like on life support right now.
Why? I thought it was going really well.
Well, you know, there's a lot of female comics go on stage, and they think that they're doing well, too.
Oh, Bill, shut the fuck up with
that. Come on. What do you mean with that? I fucking trash everybody. What, because they're fucking women, I can't trash them? There's plenty of funny female comics out there. I just made that joke. Go fuck yourself.
Fine.
You just, what are you doing to the pole? You just keep bringing it down.
Why am I doing it?
On your back. You're phoning it in.
I'm not phoning it in. This is how I'm able to,
you know,
to do my best.
You know what?
What are you doing?
Yeah, just about.
Get away from me. Get away. Ow.
Fucking enough of you. All right, that's it. That's the podcast for this week. I am going to be at the Funny Bone in Columbus, Ohio this weekend.
Wait a minute. What's underrated?
Huh?
You
didn't have
overrated.
An underrated.
Oh.
Underrated. Bringing your girlfriend in on the fucking pod. No, that's overrated. Bring your gamma fucking mourned. Underrated. Working out your underrated, overrated before you fucking say them. I'm going to be at the Funny Bone, Columbus, Ohio, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of this week. That's Friday, September 2nd. No. What am I talking about? What's today's date? The 5th? No. September 9th, 10th, and 11th. I'm going to be out there. And then I'm going to be in the Largo Cornet Theater in Los Angeles for two shows on Tuesday, September 13th. And then the final thing I got is Friday, Saturday. I'm going to be at the Wilbur Theater in Boston, Massachusetts. That is it. That's the podcast for this week. Thank you for everybody for listening. Thank you guys once again for all the donations. I am currently working on a new badass website, and I am going to be updating all kinds of stuff in my technological world. So be looking for that in the next month. That is it. Go fuck yourselves. I'll talk to you next week.